Good afternoon. Today is Monday, October the 21st, 291st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the bank dude from Redwood Capital Bank, Mr. Dalby.
Brian, it's great to see you.
Glad to see the candy's kicking in,
yeah,
huh?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I could make reference. You could hang yourself with that, but that wouldn't. No visuals. It goes over everybody's head. So you want to talk about more obsession-driven actions?
Yes. Obsession for excellence. How's that?
Sure. You say potato, I say potato.
Oh, well, it should be fun. Should be interesting.
It should be. Yeah, we'll determine whether or not it will be when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of The Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby, but before we do our quote this afternoon, which really isn't a quote, so I don't know if it qualifies, but we're going to do it anyway.
And we're going to see which one you pick.
Multiple choice. Complete this sentence. I never met a man I didn't... A? Like... Oh, wait, I didn't... You know what? I never met a man I didn't like to cheat.
That would be A.
A. At first.
That would be B.
Not first base, but first. To avoid.
That would be C.
C. Better than you. Uh-oh. Apparently, D did not make the cut. Just based purely on that response. Thank you, Mr. John.
So who is the quote from?
Robert Byrne, who's a fictional name. He's in here. They use that one instead of anonymous. Because he's the guy.
Who wrote the book?
Who wrote the book, yes.
Or compiled the book, we
should
say.
Well, either way he says, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. So, obsessiveness. Most times, John, when we hear about obsessive, we have a negative connotation associated with that term. Necessarily true all the time?
People that obsess generally are achievers. And we all obsess to some degree. You know, if you have a hobby that you've learned and mastered, you're obsessive. If you're a musician and you've mastered an instrument, you're obsessive. If you've worked on your business and made it successful, you're generally obsessive. So, it has both a positive and a negative. Depending on the negative side is, what are you abandoning? Or ignoring because of your obsession.
So, yeah, so what cost?
Right.
Yeah.
So today what he's referring to is a book that I brought along.
He is me.
Yeah.
That would be E.
Yeah. Or let's just call
him.
You it. It would be easier.
Okay.
By Patrick Lencioni. And it's called, the book is named The Four Obsessions of an Extraordinary Executive. And the book is not so much about the executive, but the executive team. And I've read this some time ago, and I went back and I reread a portion of it and learned some new things. And so I thought we could talk about those today.
Well, since we are on the couch and your bill is running, what made these stick out this time for you instead of the last time you read the book?
Well, you're in a different paradigm as you reread something. So where I was the first time I read it was working on one thing, and then as I reread it this time, I was actually trying to teach some of the principles. And so maybe I looked a little deeper, or I was thinking more in line with what my current circumstances were and what changed there. So what the book is about, I mean, he has an interesting writing style. He generally has a fictional story that's about half the book, very easy read. And then he drills down on the principles that you can learn from the story. Okay. And in this particular one, he comes down to extraordinary teams, have these four disciplines in order to build a team. The first one is build and maintain a cohesive leadership team. Okay, now obviously the definition is very important with all of that. Then it's create organizational clarity, over-communicate organizational clarity, and then last, reinforce organizational clarity through human systems. So that the portion that I was looking at was the first one, build and maintain a cohesive leadership team. Now, as the book goes through, and these are really concepts that we've embraced in our executive management team that I'm trying to put out through the rest of the organization, is this, that in order for us to deal with important issues, we need to talk about them. We need to, you know, that the old phrase, you know, the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about, that can't happen. And cohesive teams fight, argue, get it on the table, but we're talking about the issues, not the people. Okay, it's very important. And in fact, if people start attacking, you know, personalities or people, then you got to put an end to that very quickly. You got to fight for the issues. But once it's decided, we all have to get behind it.
Now, there have been some entities who say everybody has to be behind it 100%. We got to come out of here with a 9-0 vote. Rah, 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 rah. Notice my sarcasm in that.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Do I have time to? Yes, I do. How realistic is that? And how fair is it not to be realistic?
Okay. Are you going to get a 9-0 vote? Maybe not. And in fact, in a healthy organization, probably not. But here's what's important, that we all subscribe to the same governance. And that is, once the organization has made a decision, even if it's against what you voted, you get behind it and push for it. That's very important.
You don't kneecap the decision. You can't.
No.
You may not like it, but you abide by it.
Right. You're part of the organization, and it's going in a direction that you may not have chosen. But you got to get behind and push it so it's successful.
KINS News and Information Times 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with six treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. John, the concept of working a management team, I don't know if I made a mistake, but I was watching a ball game yesterday, one of the football games. And it was intriguing for me, the concept that was made. It was just a statement, and it was about, is it Pagano?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the Colts head coach now. That when they chose to sign, depending on your perspective, the kid from Stanford, the quarterback.
Andrew Luck.
And they decided to let the established star go. That they had the feeling that they needed to change a lot of the people on board, clean house, because it was going to be a new system and not the same system that had been used that was successful with the previous guy at the helm, the quarterback, because that team was tailored to be around that individual. And with
Peyton
him
Manning.
Gone.
Right.
Okay, there's not going to be another one like him. You got to rechange everything around, and they went from one kind of an emphasis to another kind of an emphasis. Now, when you're talking about developing a strong management team, and you're doing the same general scenario, but in the private sector rather than the media spotlight, can you afford that luxury? Where if you've got a real strong person and they decide, John, I'm going to San Francisco. Or Ange decides, we're going to San Francisco. Boom. And now you're a significant player on your team is now gone. Do you restructure? Do you try to find that same profile individual? What do you do?
That's very interesting. One of the concepts of there's a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins, and I know we've talked about it in the past, but he makes a big point that organizations that have gone from good to great, meaning they're good companies and they've become great companies. And he's talking about great on a long-term basis, not on a short-term basis. That one of the concepts is that you choose your strategic direction based on the players you have in the bus. So his point is organizations that have been successful have not said, okay, we're going to X, what are the people I need, and tried to hire them to get there. It's the ones that have said, look at the talent I have, let's best utilize them, and by best utilizing them, we can accomplish B. And that's where we're going. So the answer to your question, the long run, is research would say that you're better off to reevaluate your organization with the new player than it is to try and make the new player fit in the old player's role.
So now we take that to the corporate scenario. Senior VP decides to go bye-bye. Okay. Do you reshift the entire focus and direction of the business based on who you have now on your team, in your bus, in your boardroom, or not?
Well, it depends, of course, from a practicality standpoint, on the role of that individual. So,
a significant enough role.
They're all significant at that level, but, if it is, on the accounting side, well, that's relatively straightforward to change. If it's on the creative side.
Okay, let's challenge it. Yeah.
If it's on the creative side, then yes, it could completely change the direction you're going with your company because, you don't have the same creative elements and you're not going to get the same types of products and you're not going to get the same solutions and results that you would. With the person that was formerly with your company.
Any difference between a publicly traded company versus a privately held one in that scenario?
Again, it depends on the role.
Well, let's say it's the creative one, but I buy 2,000 shares of Dalby Inc.
Well, let's take Procter & Gamble.
Okay. If so you want to get yourself out of the equation,
well, this is the division. This is the division that makes toothpaste. Okay. Well, if I lose somebody, I'm probably not going to change my toothpaste.
The color of the tube is not going to matter too terribly much.
Correct. Yes. So, it really depends on what the type of business is. But if I'm an engineering firm or an architectural firm and I lose one of my creatives, it may completely change what I'm doing.
So how tough is that to implement into the equation, into the business model that says, hey, guys, we're shifting 38 degrees to the left starting tomorrow morning at 8. Sleep well. Bye-bye.
Managing change is a whole nother issue.
That's Spencer Johnson and who took the my cheese, right?
And that can be, that could be a whole session that we can spend on just how to manage change. So
they're saying better to make that adjustment with the individuals you currently have rather than try to hire somebody and plug them in.
Research has shown that that is the better way to go. Now, that doesn't mean in every scenario.
Everybody other than my company. No, not quite?
Yeah, like for instance, if you got somebody who actually was a good radio personality to post this show, you know, it might change the dynamic.
For example,
did you just, cutting that, can't.
Might be. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with the bank dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. John, this concept of being obsessive about the management team, it also kind of implies that turnover isn't driven by the management team. And I don't think that that's necessarily an accurate reflection of what you're looking for. A lot of times businesses, we can use our sports analogy, it's pretty simple. John, you know, you really produced well for us for the last 15 years, but you're now going to be a Cleveland Indian. You know, it's part of the nature of the beast. In corporate, we don't seem to have management-driven turnover nearly as much as we have staff-driven turnover. Yeah, you keep hearing everybody's got 8 jobs in their lifetime. Well, geez, I'm 55. I've had 1 job. I better pick up my, you know, gotta get going. Yeah, and so it's driven bottom up rather than top down most times because we don't manage our staffs properly. So chasing creativeness, chasing this elusiveness with a senior management team that is driving the bus, so to speak, or determining where the bus is going. When do you know that, you know, for health's sake of the company, it's time for us to change somebody in one of the chairs?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'd like to expand that beyond just the term senior management because
a little too close to home.
Well, no, because you know most of the people that are probably listening to this program don't have a senior management team. They are the senior.
We could say management. We could say people with over 5 years on the company.
Yeah, you're talking about key players and so forth.
Yeah,
you know, and one of the more difficult things to do is to make a change in personnel because there's emotions attached. It's very, very challenging. Lives are impacted. You know, it's not the complete feel good proposition. It's so much easier to hire somebody than to terminate the relationship. And you know, so we have to do as you look through it is you have to make before you even get to that decision, you need to go through process. And that is one, the shortfalls that you're having with this. I mean, generally, if you're making a change, it's because they don't have the skill set or they're not producing the results that you need for your company or organization to be successful. If that's happening, you have to look at it. Okay, is it because they don't have the attitude or the aptitude? Meaning, do they have the basic skill sets to do this? And if the answer to that is no, you have to make a change. If it is attitude, you can give them an opportunity to rectify it by clarifying your expectations.
What if it's just stagnation?
That's a tough one.
Not that somebody's done anything wrong or anything like that, but you need to shake things up a little bit. A buddy of mine says, you know, every once in a while you have to execute a hostage. you need a change, whether it's a new product line that's being wrapped, for us a new format, new program, whatever it might happen to be, something, a new branch, or pulling out and shutting down a branch. It goes both ways with that.
So I think what you're talking about is actually removing somebody, bringing somebody in new just to give a fresh approach.
Yes.
Very, very difficult to do.
And maybe market share is slipping a little bit.
Right.
because of that.
The question then becomes, how do you deliver the message, and how do you let somebody go if they're doing their job correctly?
Right, no fault of their own.
Right, yeah. I would get a human resources guy on that one. I'm not the one to ask.
Okay. Because I would, every once in a while you hear coaches, managers, to use our sports analogy, they're tired. They know somebody else can come in with more energy than they have. The company will benefit. Jim Leyland today announced that he wasn't coming back next year. This was his last run with the Tigers as a manager. Okay. Versus somebody like Dusty Baker, who got fired. Okay. Still successful, but didn't make it to the World Series. So, sorry, you weren't successful enough. And I guess that may speak to something else also. What if you're successful, but not enough? We've gone to the playoffs the last 10 years, John, but none of us have jewelry. I'm sorry, we didn't win the World Series, Stanley Cup, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So while you've done a good job, it hasn't been good enough.
There's been a lot of good coaches that have got the jewelry that have been let go because their performance declined.
Not last year.
So, yeah. And there are performance-oriented jobs. Like if you're in sales, it really doesn't matter what you sold last year. It's what you're selling today that matters. And so that type of a production job, you are what you produce, period. If I'm working on an assembly line, it doesn't matter what I built last year. It's what I'm building today that matters. Okay, as opposed to, a job in which there is a minimum requirement that you are supposed to count these 30 widgets every day and make sure that the reports are straight. If you're counting those widgets and the reports are straight, you're doing your job. Okay. So if the performance isn't there, it's not there.
And that's more of a black and white.
That's correct. It's very black and white.
So as you're looking to keep your business enterprise as viable as possible, as effective as possible, how do you know you're doing it? How do you know you're not losing market share? That there's not some young company who's climbing up the ranks and you're not paying attention to it because either it hasn't gotten to you in your slice of the pie, nobody's complained too much about it. You're still seeing your folks regularly, but they're going to them a little bit more often and a little bit more often and a little bit more often. How do you know you're going down if you don't have those reference points to know that you're going down?
The first thing is you're going to see it in your financial statements and your bank account. It's you're going to lose revenue. Your expenses are going to go up.
Say your numbers are there. Your share is down, but your numbers are still there. These guys are over here cannibalizing, or the market's expanding wildly, and you're expanding 1% a year.
Okay. What about that?
So your numbers are okay, but there's this other big change that's going on in the market, and you're not partaking.
So what's your question? I got lost there.
How do you recognize that it's not happening? And if you do recognize that it's not happening to you also, how do you change? Do you change the people on board? Or do you just say, we're happy where we are, thank you very much?
It depends on what your goals and aspirations are. So, for instance, if you're Coca-Cola, what's the mission statement for Coca-Cola?
Things go better with Coke.
The mission statement for Coca-Cola
is
to put a can of Coke within arm's reach of every human on the planet.
I like mine better.
That's different than I am going to produce the best cola drink in the world in small quantities.
Yeah, I'm not sure that ever entered into the equation.
Yeah, so what's your mission?
To make money. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:44, at least for the next 2 minutes. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:48. Two minutes worth of pearls of wisdom coming from Mr. Dalby, and then we're out of here. John, if people are looking at either growing a business to incorporate this approach, or they're looking for a business who has incorporated this tactic, the strategy in management, how do you look for something like that? How do you find it? How do you know if you found it?
Well, first of all, you meet with the people involved. And the concepts that we've talked about of being open, honest, communicating, dealing with the issues, talking about them, this is not just at the management level. This should be throughout the organization. And one of the challenges, of course, is managing managers. But if you don't deal with the elephant in the room, it just festers and it becomes a problem, and you're not going to move to the next level.
And then nobody wants to eat it one bite at a time.
That's correct.
I think we mixed something there. I'm not too sure.
Another
got a little
metaphor.
Close to the blender, I think.
Yeah.
So in that kind of scenario, you feel it? You sense it?
Well, as you walk into an organization, you talk to them, you'll very quickly find out that, are you walking into a room full of yes people? And that's, as much as it would be pleasant to have all yes people around me telling me that everything I do is right, I'd rather have people that are challenging me and questioning it and making me think harder and work harder.
So that's Sue's role.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, hey, if somebody has a better idea, accept it. Embrace it.
Almost an obligation to do so. The name of the book again?
The Four Obsessions of an Extraordinary Executive by Patrick Lencioni.
Thanks for coming by.
Good to see you.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.